shake your arm, then use your palm. Stay on the scene, you got to have the feeling. Sure as your bone.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, right on, Sam and Greg. I'm assuming we're all together. Well, somebody will say it's a game day Sunday morning. Won't they?
Maybe. Morning.
Glad you could join us.
How you doing?
I'm all right, man.
Yeah.
I am all right. I want to ask you, again, we wished both our wives happy birthday yesterday.
Yeah.
You came in here a little bit slow this morning. Your wife kind of like had a birthday weekend, as was the case at my house, too.
It's
been a birthday celebration. It's like the birthday season.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a nice time. You guys have a nice time?
Yeah, and I forgot to mention, again, no freebies, no nothing. Your name came up, but we went out to Henry's again.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't been up there yet, have you?
Ain't been up there yet.
Folks in Ackworth, shout out
mm-hmm.
to Henry's. And the dude is the only person you will find who is a bigger Saints fan is on the other side of the glass.
Really?
It's this Louisiana-style cooking.
I finally made it out there about a month or so ago, and man, that's a nice place.
It is.
I'm finding reasons to make my way to Ackworth more just so I can go eat at Henry's. That's a great place. Food was outstanding.
It is. It's great. And in fact, the first time I mentioned it, and Bo was paying attention to it, I mentioned that it was a favorite restaurant of John Fricke's.
Ah.
Which got into his because of the way he talks about the Saints.
Yeah. Well, and more importantly, the way he talks about the city of New Orleans. I got no problem with him talking about the Saints all bitter and whatnot.
Yeah.
But when you go to insulting my city, come on, man.
Yeah.
Have some respect.
Yeah, well, he got a chair out there with his name on it. He's out there at Henry's. What about you guys?
We're down here and fought through the traffic. They had some things lined up at the Ruth Chris around here right by Centennial Park. And it was a nice time. It's just it's like kind of a thing with a lot of family and then a lot of her schoolmates and people that she known came through and just passed through.
Oh, college girlfriends, huh?
Yeah,
it's amazing. Coming back telling them stories from back in the day.
Yeah,
they don't want you to hear about.
Oh, I think I didn't
hear about what happened after that Clemson football game back at the dorms.
I didn't get to hear about all that. but they had a good time. I tell you what, they don't roll as late as they used to, though.
Nobody does.
They don't roll.
Let's put it this way. Nobody does.
They don't roll as late as they used to.
people who get to, I don't care what age you get. Once you get past 25, you have a phrase, especially when you're sitting with your friends. Man, I just can't do it the way I used to. And then you get to that next age, you go, not only can I do it, I just don't want to do it.
Yep.
It just ain't worth the effort. I'll never forget Magic Johnson. Late in his career, this is before he announced he was HIV. And talking about what it was like at that point in his career. And he had said that he can do everything he could do as a rookie. He just don't use as much energy doing it.
Ah.
That's a statement for life.
It's true.
Across the board.
If you learn.
Yeah, if you're paying attention and you got the right people around you, you can continue doing the same things. You just got to pick your spots.
Yep. Some people don't figure that out, though. Not everybody figures that out.
Those are the ones that make life interesting.
Yeah. Not everybody figures that out.
Will you give me a game day so I can tell everybody what's going on here today?
It is a game day, isn't it? Coming up today. It is a game day Sunday.
Okay, that's a nice start. Wild card playoff games, we got them right here. Chargers and Ravens. Pre-game at 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
Kickoff at 1:05.
Yes.
Now, on 92.9 The Game, you will hear after that Hawks and the Heat.
Okay.
Pre-game 5:30. Kickoff at 6 o'clock. Now,
there'll be a tip-off.
That's true. It says actually kick here, believe it or not.
Does it? Yeah. Are you serious? Well,
Hang on a second. Look at what's that say right there?
It says kick.
Yep.
You do some kicking at 6 o'clock. That's gonna be a bad scene.
Shout out to our boy Sean Thompson.
That'd be a bad look.
Welcome back, Sean. But the second playoff game, which is the one anybody ever cares about, and we will be talking about this with one of our guests this morning.
Yes.
Is Philly and Chicago.
Yeah.
That Bears. They kick off at 4:40 this afternoon, so get your brats ready, your deep dish pizza, some Falstaff, slits.
It's not snowing up there, is it?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. All we do know is the turf is messed up at Soldier Field. It's always messed up.
Why?
Go figure. It's like, you know, home field advantage. What are the two things Chicago is known for, or the Bears organization? Defense.
Yep.
And you got to have ball control. So I had a lot of running. Going back to the Peyton days.
Well, it messed right? up.
Going back to the Gale days.
That's why you got bad turf?
So, no, I'm just saying it slows down other teams that come in there. Bears are used to it. Other teams, they have to.
What is this with the bad turf? Because the Cubs had this years ago when they had, like, when Ron Say was playing third base, the grass on the third
hang
base.
On, hang on, hang on.
No, I'm saying
the Dodgers.
The grass. No, he played for the Cubs, and the grass was on the.
Yes, they do that for third basemen who are an advanced age for baseball baseball age.
The grass was so high you need to cut it with a machete, man.
Yeah.
On the left side of the infield. What?
Yeah. You know. I just told you why. Slows the ball down. You if you got a rookie third baseman, then that's a little different. But if you have a guy who's been in the league some years who's not as quick, you slow the ball down some. That's an old trick, though, man. That's an old trick.
So that stuff y'all do in Chicago. Y'all trick up the field.
Listen, it ain't just Chicago.
Y'all trick
they
up
do
the
it
grass
in Boston. They do it in L.A.
I don't know.
It in all in places.
I only heard about it in Chicago. You talking about Chicago with the football team. I remember with the baseball team. Tricky grass in Chicago. Nice.
Tricky grass.
We have Chicago. We do some tricks with grass.
Sounds like something you're getting down in Montego Bay. You know what I'm saying, man?
Creative landscaping we have going on.
Yeah. It's called home field advantage. They do it all over sports. By the way, did I win a bet from you, Bo?
You did, and I actually tried to repay that, or I tried to pay that this morning.
I don't want nothing. No. I can miss a meal. No,
well, I was going to – see, you're going to get upgraded, though. So I'll walk into QT at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'll be darn it if there's no sausage biscuits ready.
Oh.
There's not even a biscuit to be found anywhere. As a matter of fact, the guy that was supposed to be running the register was not even behind the register. He was cleaning the heat lamps where the biscuits go, I guess getting ready for the real breakfast crowd. So, you know –
that's okay.
A little bit later on, I can run down to Starbucks.
No. That's okay. It wasn't really an official bet. And
well, we shook, you know, from across the studio.
I want to take care of you, but I can.
Other side of the glass.
I can.
Yeah. I got you.
I can miss a meal.
We can get nothing from Highland?
Pardon?
Nothing from Highland Bakery? That's a spot you get.
It is, but, you know, listen, I do feel bad for two people on that Seattle team. And by the way, if you're just joining us, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. And what I'm talking about is yesterday during our show, I was voicing my disdain for everything Pete Carroll has to do with as far as the team. Not Seattle, though they, by extension, get thrown into the mix. But my real angst is with Pete Carroll. If there was somebody else coaching that team, I may have wanted them to win. But between him and then the days when Richard Sherman was there, I had enough of him, too. This was not Dion we were talking about. Except he carried himself like he was.
Yeah.
All right, but he wasn't. So between him, but mostly Pete Carroll, I was yesterday talking about how badly I wanted the Cowboys to win. This is what Pete Carroll does. He's got me rooting for the Cowboys.
Wow. That's a lot.
But Seattle, though, I got love for
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you who else. The two kids, especially the kid who came out of UCF last year, Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
And his brother.
Mm-hmm.
So we got those two guys. I care about them. I like to see them have some success.
Okay.
So it was bittersweet. And to be honest with you, there's one other guy, too. And I was sorry to see him go down. Sebastian Janikowski.
Yeah.
Man, that dude,
he's been out there forever.
He's the John Daly of the NFL. Ain't he?
He's been out there forever, man.
I mean, from the time he left Florida State to right now, it's been, what, 17, 18 years, something like that?
Yeah.
I think it was 2000 he came in. So 18 years. Has he seen the weight room? And yet he's – and I don't say that because you and I both could go there too. But
yeah.
What I'm saying is this dude has bypassed the weight room right to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. You think he gets in there? You know they make kickers wait.
They do, but he –
They make kickers wait.
I'm telling you, he's been consistent. He's been one of those kickers in the league that has kept their teams in games because of his length. And he just, as you know the phrase when they say country strong?
Yep.
That's what he is. Or Europe, wherever he's from, whatever country he came from. He got it there. Country strong, man. That leg has been booming, like I said, since Florida State.
He has been a constant. He's been a constant. And to see him get injured yesterday, it was like, whoa, the hamstring. And he left the game. And that may very well have been a pivotal point for that team to not have him available.
Exactly.
You know, that changes. When you have a weapon like that, it allows you to do certain things. When you take him away in a game like that, it changes, you know, what your game plan is, what you can aim for and what you can't aim for. So with the score being 24-22 final score, you could see him possibly having a chance to change the outcome of that football game, and he wasn't available.
Well, Andrew Luck moves on. Like I said, I truly believe that there may be something special this year coming out of Andrew Luck.
You said yesterday that all of the season was fine, but he needed to perform on that.
He did
that
last night.
And he did.
He did. And, going into – this is where superstars are made. He goes into Kansas City and gets a win. It makes you forget almost, unless you're an Indy fan, those last couple years. Because this dude was like Tiger Woods last year in that he didn't know if he'd ever be able to do what he has been doing athletically again. He was in, as he said, he was in a dark place. And we were getting all these crazy reports, Jim Irsay, right. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. Yeah. We didn't know what was coming out, what was true, what wasn't out of Indianapolis. And now it looks like this guy is back.
He's back looking great. And also, like I mentioned yesterday, the defensive unit for the Colts. I mean, to go and really shut down the Texans the way that they did, they're pretty impressive. Now they go into the next challenge. They roll into KC. What can they do there? But still, that was an impressive win by Indianapolis.
Man, I got to pull for the Cowboys.
Look, 222 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. That's good.
Did Garrett save his job? Obviously, he saved his job. How would you feel about that if you were a Cowboys fan? Jason Garrett's, he not going anywhere for a while.
No, they've done enough to keep him in place.
But that's the thing. It's just enough. I mean, would you want to have a coach here who's done just enough to keep their job?
Well, that's the thing. They've been waiting so long just to get back to this point. To get this point. You got to remember, it's been a while. Everybody talks about the Cowboys, but the Cowboys have been relevant. That's the thing, is being relevant. Yeah, people talk about it because they're the Cowboys. They're always going to be talked about. But having something to follow up with and have a team performance and win games to get into this position is something we haven't seen them do and play the way they're doing. So, yeah. He secured himself a little job security for a while. Talk about all these young quarterbacks, though, that are in the postseason. It's just a bunch of kind of newbies, fresh blood in the NFL, which is good. But you remember the time when the playoffs were the time when the veteran quarterbacks were the guys that you saw. And not always.
Well, this is still just Wild Card Weekend because we got a guy named Brady who's playing next week.
Well, I realize that, but I mean, we still got a guy named Mahomes who's playing. Yeah,
that's true. So we got a guy in L.A. who's not been at it for a minute.
You got some fresh blood. I don't know if we want to call it a changing of the guard for quarterbacks around the league.
Why not? But, yeah,
I don't know if we want to call it that because the other guys we're talking about are not done. They're not washed up.
Listen, they're grabbing for the handle on the door and getting ready to open it and exit stage left. Drew Brees, how many more years does he have?
I don't know.
Tom Brady, how many more years does he have, despite what he says?
Roethlisberger?
Well, he ain't playing.
But I'm just saying.
How do you feel about that, that whole situation with Pittsburgh?
Boy, that's some drama there. That's some serious drama.
If it were anybody else, any other organization, does Mike Tomlin make it this far?
That's for just Pittsburgh doesn't fire their
they
coaches.
They don't fire them coaches,
they don't
man.
They fire their coaches. They don't do it. That's what the organization has done. Only 3 coaches in the history of the team. 3, I think.
Well, you got Chuck Knoll.
Yeah.
You got Cowher.
And you got Tomlin.
Yeah.
And they don't, and each of them has taken the team to Super Bowls. So, I mean, that's.
And the funny thing about it is every one of those players, or every one of those wins by that particular coach, at least the last 2, have been attributed to the coach prior to them. Cowher was always with those Chuck Knoll's players.
Yeah.
And then when Tomlin, those are Bill Cowher's players. But what has he done since? I mean, he made some noise.
Yeah.
But he got no ring.
No, but I mean, they've been consistently in the conversation. They're there. Now, how long would that be enough?
That's the question because, again, if it were any other organization, he would have been gone.
Yeah. Now with players jumping over the ship, now what happens there?
This is another one of those crazy situations.
Yeah, your running back, now you got your star wide receiver.
Yeah, but he just can't walk out.
No, he can't.
He can't just walk out. But my question is, man, that's a tough one. Because he seems to, at least on game day, get along with Roethlisberger. It's not like he's not going to continue throwing him the ball. But there's a lot of pettiness going on. It's visible.
It really is.
And so you don't really have any kind of intelligent understanding as to how do you draw a conclusion about it because This is just divas going back and forth. And the league is full of them. We go from one team to another talking about diva attitudes.
Yep.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit more about what we got coming up tomorrow night, because we have not touched on national championship.
It is that time.
And the apathy that is surrounding it through the national sports fans in this country. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg on the first weekend back, 2019.
First weekend back, and if you haven't heard anyone else say it to you, Happy New Year.
Happy, happy, happy New Year.
Hope your 2019 is off to a great start.
You made it through the first amateur night of the year, or the last, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, we are one or the other.
Yeah.
Which one is it? The first? No, it's the first
I night. It's the last one, because technically it starts on last year.
Okay. That would be the last one then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we really enjoyed yesterday. That was something up in the sky that we saw that we hadn't seen around here. It seemed like a month.
What's that? Oh, the sun? You saw that yesterday, huh?
It's like we hadn't seen the sun around here. Don't know when. And yesterday's actually was beautiful. No clouds in the sky.
Nice. Were you, kind of torn. You wanted to go out, but then you had playoff action going on.
Yep.
But actually, I don't even know why I'm asking you, because you and I were still dealing with wives' birthdays.
Yes.
Situations yesterday.
We had those things going on.
By the way, at some point, can we talk about what happened when we left here yesterday morning? You don't want to say that, do you? No, let's save it. Let's save it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Because something happened to us when we walked out of here. Yeah. I'll take the lead on it.
Well, something happened to somebody.
I wasn't going to get into that. That was the bad part, but
yeah.
what we witnessed. So that was actually kind of interesting. And the good, we can talk about it gleefully because everybody's okay.
Yeah, the outcome was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good. So let's get back to this game tomorrow night.
Yep.
And the word I was using all day yesterday and will continue to today is, as far as the nationwide interest in the national championship game, is just apathy. It's just, you know, okay, I know it's going to be played and, you know, Alabama's probably going to win, but we kind of like to see Clemson win, and that's about it. I mean, I that's what I believe. People are used to, I was thinking about this. We've seen it before in the sports world in this country. It happened during the Bulls when they were making their run. It's happened.
They didn't have empty seats, though. No.
Well, I'm going to tell you something.
No, they did.
When they came to Atlanta, they did. I used to, the radio station I used to be with had four seats, not only at, the whole time at the
Omni.
At the Omni. And I would have no problem grabbing them Bulls tickets, being the only person from Chicago there. But also, there weren't many basketball fans. But it was an event. You remember when Jordan came to town, they were giving out traffic reports.
Right, right. So I'm saying that.
They had seats open at the Omni from time to time.
From time, but not a whole lot. You know, that's the thing. And definitely not at home.
Well, actually it did toward the end there, but that was for a different reason because people were upset at Jerry Krause. But your bigger point is you're talking about the national champ. This one game should be completely sold out.
It's the national championship game. It's the best of the best playing. And I think there will be good viewership. I think people will watch it.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
But as far as people making the trip out there and putting their money down for tickets, that seems to be not happening so much. I'm not saying the place is going to be empty. There'll be folks going to be there, but you'll be able to look and probably see some sections where they're not, you know, it's not all packed. Not like it was here a year ago.
Because it's not in a place like here. It's in one of the remote places, you know, as far as where they have these games. And now they may change when the new stadium in L.A. is built.
I'm sure they will have one there.
But
I'm sure it will visit there for sure.
This is according to SB Nation. This came out, as a matter of fact, yesterday. Santa Clara, the worst national championship venue available. That's what they wrote. And broke down the reasons why this is the worst place to have this game. But one of the reasons they're saying that it is there is because the Pac-12 title game was in this venue, and it is a reasonable drive to the Pac-12 headquarters in downtown San Francisco. And since they have to move this game around and they rotate it outside of the southeast and eastern cities, so you got Miami, you got Houston, you got New Orleans, and you got Atlanta, which will host this game regularly. The they put this out there because, again, they got to rotate them, Big Five conferences, and that commissioner wants it in a place where it's like Goodell when he had the Super Bowl finally at Met State. Nobody wants to be playing a Super Bowl outside.
Up in New York.
He got so lucky.
Yep.
He got so lucky. That day was like 50 degrees that day?
Yep. And no snow.
And we were all praying for that.
Yep. I wanted the bottom to fall out. I wanted to just cover everything. But, I mean, you don't have a chance of that happening out in this part of the country. But
it's not an easy get. That's another reason, Sam. That's another reason there's tickets available. It's in a location that's not attractive to people who would say, hey, man, let's go out, even though we didn't go to Alabama or Clemson, let's go out and hang out and be at the national championship event. They got the same events, I would imagine, that have been going on throughout the weekend and probably this past week up there. But
they got all those fan experiences.
Exactly.
I'm sure they got College Football Hall of Famers out there, all the people that you would normally see at the event, all of those things that go along around an event like that. They're taking place out there. If nothing else, they came and they saw what we did here and said, we're going to do some of the things they did in Atlanta. We had a lot of different events surrounding that game leading up to the game here last year.
Having the event and having the city that's hosting it is completely different. I mean, let's start off with the matchup. This is the fourth time these guys have played. All right, so we've been there, done that before.
Right.
Two, it's not an easy get as far as that city. And Santa Clara is not even in the same conversation as Atlanta as far as things to do. If you want to do stuff other than the college football experience, and even if they had a venue that was full of things related to college football, Hall of Fame.
Or like our World Congress Center.
I'm
sure they have a venue like a World Congress Center. I'm sure they got something
in downtown San Francisco.
They may have something in Santa Clara.
You ever driven through downtown San or in the city of San Francisco? That's not an easy drive.
Well, you uphill, down here.
Yeah, all kinds.
Here comes a streetcar. Ding, 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 ding. I've been to San Francisco.
it's just not easy to maneuver around. And
they call it the charming old city by the bay.
But Santa Clara isn't. That's the San Francisco.
Yeah, I know.
So that's just my reason. I'm gonna enjoy watching it, all the pomp and circumstance, but
And all the different perspectives on that's the thing I like about this game and the Final Four is that they dedicate about 5 or 6 or 10 different channels to it. Different languages if you just want to. I love the one where the coaches watch. I think that's pretty cool. The coaches in there, because they're coaches who have coached against these teams. And if you listen, they'll call the play. They can almost call the play with the next play that's coming. I think it's kind of that. I enjoy watching that screen. You can get the one that's the PlayStation camera, the Sky camera. You got one that just follows that thing zipping back and forth.
Like you're working, actually, as opposed to enjoying the game.
No, I just
Man,
like
just sit and watch the game.
The different perspectives are provided
for the whole game, though.
So yes,
well, see, I can do that for a minute.
I don't want to watch
or
the whole
even
game,
a quarter.
But if it's a tight game and it gets down close, I like to watch the in the room with the coaches. I like to hear what they're saying and who they call. I don't know what coaches they're going to have in there this year, but to me, that's one of the alternate that I enjoy.
I don't know if I'd want to do that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because it's the surprise of what happens next. That's the great thing about sports. You don't know what's going to happen.
Well, you don't
yet.
Know, but I mean, but it's cool to hear the perspectives from people who
but
have
see, it
been
takes,
on the sideline
But it takes
me.
Your eye. If Coach A says, okay, I think they're going to do this play. Like Tony Romo's done a great job of that in the NFL. When he calls games, he says, well, this is probably going to happen next. And it seems like 9 times out of 10, what he says is going to happen, happens. It takes away from the excitement of not knowing what could possibly happen, and then boom, this crazy play happens. That is just for me.
Well, that's the
thing.
That's
one of the things about sports I enjoy.
You can watch that, but would they have called on the kick that Saban did several years ago? The coaches probably wouldn't have called that. That would have been a surprise. And to hear their reaction to him doing something like that, to me, would be a whole lot of fun. So, and that's one of the, but you got a lot of different ones, whatever you want to, if you want to hear the one that, I'm sure that's the Clemson broadcast, you want to hear the one that's the Alabama broadcast.
Which ones you want to listen to?
Let's do a little bit of both. But obviously, Eli Gold at Alabama, you want to give me somebody that I've met and whatnot. And
What's he like? I never met him before.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah?
And
would you want to play a round of golf with him?
Yeah.
All right. Well, see, that's the test right there.
Eli Gold's a cool guy. And then the thing of it is, if people don't know, he came down south to do minor league hockey, not Alabama.
What? That's like Feinbaum, right? He came down for another reason too, wasn't he?
No, Feinbaum.
I thought Feinbaum was
Tennessee.
I understand that, but I mean, by the way, I was wrong about that too, because I could have sworn he said New York at one point.
No, he's from Tennessee. But I mean, no. Eli Gold came to do minor league hockey in Birmingham, got there and landed NASCAR, I think, with MRN, Motor Racing Network, and then Alabama, and that's what he's more known for. But last year, they got minor league hockey back in Birmingham, in the Birmingham area. So after he's done with this game tomorrow night, he's going to go to his Moonlight gig, which is minor league hockey.
It's funny you should say that. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, Sam McGriff.
That's his Moonlight gig.
Now, that sounds like a jazz song. In a related story, Finland.
Ah.
I do this as tribute to Dan Kamal.
Dan Kamal.
Dan, we're thinking of you. Shout out Dan Kamal. Finland won its fifth world junior hockey title.
Yeah.
And beating USA, Team USA, 3-2.
Yeah. I understand you, Team USA, rallied back. They were down early, and they tried to rally back, and it came up short.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think Finland was the gold medal game for Miracle on Ice, USA, the USA team. Yep. Everybody thought it was the Russian game, but that was the semifinals, correct?
That was the semifinals.
They had to come back and still beat Finland.
They were, and yesterday was actually the exact anniversary of that game.
Was it really?
No, Dan was super, super excited about it. Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
So let's do the math here. How many years is that? That's
It was 80, wasn't it?
80.
So 29 years?
Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Do you believe in miracles? Yep. Yes.
Lake Placid.
Did you go up and cover that one?
No, man.
I was
still in college. I was still in school, dude.
On this day. Hey, listen. I'm going to tell you something.
I'm still in school.
I got some good ones today.
ABC Sports with Jim McKay and
Howard his hangover.
Howard Cosell.
Didn't have any sideburns. He had that hangover hair.
Yeah.
It looked like sideburns. Sort of, kind of. We're going to be talking to
Al Michaels was there.
Yeah, well, of course.
Who will be, of course, doing the game this evening for NBC Sports.
By the way, when's the last time you've seen Bob Costas?
That's a good question.
Yeah, and he's like in witness protection program.
He is in witness protection.
I mean, I think he shows up every once in a while, but it's something he's taped on MLB Network.
Oh, he's doing a lot on MLB.
Right,
he's over there a lot, right, Bo?
Yeah.
He's over there, you know.
He's actually on their play-by-play broadcast a lot, too.
Right, yeah. But yeah. Right this time
Him
of year.
And Smoltz are hooking up a lot.
Yeah, this time of year.
He's probably doing? He's probably picking up cash doing speaking engagements and all these hot stove things. I bet he's like.
Maybe he's just sitting around the house.
I was just going to say, he could be sitting and hanging out
on
St.
piles
Louis.
Of money.
No,
he does.
He's probably going around speaking a lot of baseball.
He's doing a little bit of sitting at the house.
We're going to continue talking college football next with Natalie Pierre. She's a friend of the show. She covers things down in South Florida. We got some questions about a guy we know here locally, Mark Rick, what she thinks he might be up to.
Yeah.
And that program. That is up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you Sunday morning, a game day Sunday morning. We get into those games as we go along this morning. So glad that you're with us as we bring in this new year, first weekend of the new year. And we talked college football just moments ago. We're going to talk more with a friend of the show joining us from wonderful South Florida, from NP Sports Media, Natalie Pierre. Good morning, Natalie, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Sam.
Great to hear you. Great to hear your voice.
I'm here too, Natalie.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry.
Watch out for Greg now.
Gosh, and I strive to be better at this in the new year, and so I'm failing.
You're doing great.
Talk about what we've seen so far. We're talking about this matchup tomorrow night, and people are saying why people are not excited about it. If it's this, if it's this. Why do they still have seats for $150 for this national championship game? It's the matchup we all thought we were going to see, right?
Absolutely, and I definitely understand why the tickets are like that, because it's in, the middle of nowhere where people root for college football or watch college football. You think of where you live, where I live, and all these other places where college football country, and you've gone to a part of the world that's expensive as all get out to get to, and then you don't have a real home college football fan base in the Bay Area like that. And so I think it's a challenge just in that sense, where you're expecting pretty much that stadium to be filled up by people spending, you know, $300 easy, minimum, probably, on a plane ticket, and then having to turn around and buy game tickets and spend $300 a night on a hotel. So that's the challenge.
Yeah, moreover, then have to hop in the car and go to where the excitement is or nightlife is, because they're not in San Francisco. They're a minute and a half from San Francisco, so now you got to commute there to have any kind of excitement. My thing is this, Natalie, and one of the things that, along with the teams that have played four times and the been there, done that mentality, right out of my head. My train of thought just went.
Greg's been talking about, is there apathy? My thing is this, is the rest of the country getting sick and tired of the Southeast having representatives in this game all the time?
I mean, then if you're tired of it, if you're, help your program recruit. I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, donate to your local college so they can build more stadiums and recruit better players and compete. I don't know.
Natalie,
I don't know.
Natalie Pierre.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just going to reach you. I thought you were done with your thought. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, for me, I would have been disappointed if it was anyone other than Alabama and Clemson, because you look at it and it's the two best teams. And I all season I wanted to see Alabama against Clemson because they're the two best teams, and I feel like that would be the most incredible game. And so we got that. That's what the committee's tasked with. That's what we ask for, and that's what we have. I'm sorry that the jerseys are the same colors. The coaches are the same guys.
Natalie Pierre joining Sam McGregor, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com, talking college football. And I remembered what I was going to say to you, and I said that all sports, I shouldn't just limit it to college football, but all sports are dealing with the home viewing experience. 4K TVs, you got all. Why go to the stadium unless you have a vested interest in A, the team, or the program on the college level, when you can sit at home or at a friend's house or a sports bar and see clearly the game, the replays, get analysis? Sam was just going on about how he enjoys listening to the coaches. They have the different channels now for the games. They have the home team channels, and then you got these coaches that are sitting talking about what might happen next. I believe that is a problem moving forward, with the exception of the times that game is going to be in the cities that are attractive to the people on the periphery of college football. Your city, Miami, Atlanta last year, New Orleans, mm-hmm. places like that. That's what college football has to deal with.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's even changing to the point where you're looking at the people covering the game, where people in newsrooms are deciding, hey, like, it's college football season, there are 10 games on today, I'd rather have you watch 10 games on your 4K TVs and be able to cover it with deeper analysis than go cover one game and get the game experience, because it's just not that great anymore. And because, like you said, you can get the press conferences and the information online now. It's times are changing.
Yeah. I tell you one thing, and the other thing that we want to change, and I noticed you included it on your Twitter. By the way, if you guys want to follow Natalie on Twitter, it is @NataliePierre_. Our Georgia team played down in the Sugar Bowl, and before the game got started, there was this incident, and that PETA has now said they need to shut down the live mascot. What are your thoughts of that? I think the live mascots always add something to the games, and you work for a while in Tallahassee. Obviously, they have Renegade and Chief Osceola there. But thoughts about that?
Well, whoever's idea was to get those two mascots that are very different and put them in such close proximity, that was a horrible idea. I know it was cute for, like, Twitter and Instagram and stuff, and for people to use as, like, a meme and say, like, haha, like, I'm approaching 2019 like this. But it was really a dangerous situation, and one that shouldn't have happened, just because you think about that, and it wasn't a good idea to begin with.
Yeah.
You don't have to take away the live mascots, you just make better decisions. I don't know. That was a weird deal.
The animal's not the problem. The human beings are, huh?
110%.
Natalie, people here in Atlanta have an interest in what happened down there in Miami with Mark Rick. How surprising was that? Or was it something that folks down there knew was going to happen with his retirement? And tell us a little bit about, his name just escaped me. Diaz, the new coach.
Manny Diaz. Yeah, no. I mean, I don't think anyone expected, I think tomorrow Mark Rick's going to retire. But I think when he said it, it made sense. Now, could the timing have been better? Absolutely. But I think you understood what Mark Rick was doing if you were really close enough to the program or just been paying attention. I mean, he won 7 games this season, a season after taking Miami to the ACC championship for the first time. And riding high, everyone in the country is talking about the turnover chain and talking about is the U back and all of this stuff. And then you win 7 football games. And your offense has the same issues. And everything kind of just implodes. And so, I think it was a decision that he made in the best interest of the program. Obviously, if he could have reached that decision sooner, it would have been an even better interest of the program, because then you won't have to pay, $4 million to get your defensive coordinator back to become the head coach that had gone to Temple for 2 weeks, recruited 17 players to Temple, wow, got them to, commit to him there to come back to where he had been, previously. So it's a challenging situation from that sense, and obviously it's annoying and frustrating. You know, as someone who has been in this business for a minute and seen and then also been a former college athlete, it's difficult to see that happen to young people where they make the commitment. And you can talk all day about commit to a school, not a coach. But the reality is these coaches spend so much money and so much of their job, so much of why they're hired to be in the positions they're in is because they're good at recruiting, which is selling kids on their vision.
Yep.
And sure, they tie that vision to a school, but it's so much of it is about them. So I think that was a challenging thing. But then I think when you look at it, Mark Rick was going to have to make some tough decisions with that offense. And, he's got friends. He's got his son that was the quarterback's coach. And so I just think he could have stayed. He could have fired his friends. He could have fired his son. And I'm sure he could have figured out some things.
Yeah.
But I think for him, when you look at his career, he did such a good job at Georgia. And then, people got fatigued because it wasn't good enough. They wanted more. And that's fine. That's fair. And obviously, Kirby is someone that can potentially take them and have them do a lot more and live up to what Georgia fans want. And I think it was getting to be, people could see the writing on the wall that was going to be where Miami was at. And that, right, he elevated them and he took them to a place last year where they hadn't been in a long time.
Yeah.
But then they regressed this year. And that, the writing on the wall was, this is going to be, you're going to be in the same place where Georgia ended up. And that was good, but not good enough. And so he noticed that, decided he didn't want to make the decision about his son and his friends, and, retired. And he had a wonderful career, and that's respectable. Yeah. And Manny Diaz is a young guy who, came up with the idea of the turnover chain, has led some great defenses there. And, I think it was, in terms of keeping the Miami class together, it was a good decision as you can make.
Yeah.
Right.
And you move on because Manny Diaz is such a big piece of the culture there and such a big piece of why you would want to commit to, Miami, this recruiting cycle.
Yeah. And Natalie,
so you look at them, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. We're up against it. I'm so sorry.
We got to run. We appreciate you bringing all the knowledge about
really
that,
in 2019 though. Your first appearance, you did great.
All right, guys, enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Natalie.
That is Natalie Pierre joining us from Florida with some a lot of thoughts about what went with Mark Rick.
She said something that got me thinking. I'm gonna bring it up next, actually.
Okay.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.